What's up, everybody? It's Joshua, and we're here with another installment of the Final X Legends podcast. Guys, look, I have had the awesome chance of meeting someone who has I got a stellar connection with. Miss Nakia here is an amazing writer, and she has something wondrous to tell you all. Miss Nakia, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing fine up here in Michigan with this cold, freezing weather, and we got snow.
And I sent you that picture last night of where I live at. You know what I'm gonna do right now? I'm gonna send you a picture of what I'm looking at right now. So you can understand why you need to come out here and enjoy this,
okay, I got you.
Amazing weather. Go ahead.
I got you.
Like and you know what's nice right now is there aren't a lot of boats out, and that's when like the dolphins come out and play. It's you know,
oh really?
Oh yeah. Like it's normally in the morning, like early in the morning, it's like around like between like 4 and like 6 a.m. But once people start moving on the water and whatnot, there'd be manatees and stuff like that out there. But you only see the manatees when you be on like, you know, a jet ski and you just kind of sitting in like, you know, you're sitting in the cut, you know, like, you know, just but anyways, girl, we you know, having a wonderful conversation this early.
That sounds
morning.
Nice. That sounds
yeah,
nice.
It's beautiful. You're gonna come out here and see it at some point. You'll enjoy it.
Oh, for sure.
So tell us about your books. Tell us about your amazing works and whatnot. And you know, I've had the pleasure of getting, you know, the inside scoop, but right now let our fans know about you and your book.
Well, this was a thing of passion for me. I started writing it about 4 to 5 years ago. Worked at a plant, had been there, you know, for a while. I did 18 years there. And one day me and my daughter just sat down. I'm telling her, like, I'm gonna write a book. So she's like, all right, I come up with the first name. Like off the top of my head, she came up with the last name, and that's how Richard Lapetisse was born. So my hours are always crazy. Like some days, I'm doing 4 a.m. to 10:30 at night. And I got 2 kids. I was single at the time. So I really didn't have the time or the energy to put into writing a book because the little time I did have was either sleep or spending time with my kids. So finally, I mean, the bad and the good, COVID hit, which I'm high risk because of asthma. So I ended up back at home. At this from the other job, this new job I had. So, you know, while I was sitting around, my daughter, who's named after me, you know, her name's Nakia also, she was like, Mama, you might as well finish writing a book. So at first I kind of blew it off. And then I'm like, you know, after a while, a couple of days, like, yeah. But once I got the going, it just like started hitting. And I would let my family hear some of it after every couple of chapters. Then my husband Jermaine and my son Eric kept coming back to me like, well, you finish the other chapter, you finish the other chapter. So I'm like, well, hey, I might have magic in a bottle here. You know what I'm saying? So I might as well finish it up. So to all the people listening right now, Richard Lapetisse, he is a white abolitionist. And he is trying basically to eradicate slavery the best way he knows how. But of course, you know, it's hard, especially during the 1800s, where slavery was, you know what I'm saying, really at a very high height. It wasn't close to being gotten rid of. So he was trying to do it in his own way. So he runs into issues with slave owners, the town people, Elkham, and a group of people that you wouldn't even expect him to get into it with or have issues with. So it's very interesting. You're definitely going to go on a roller coaster ride. Moments you're going to love Richard, and some moments you're going to probably hate him.
Yeah.
But you'll understand where he's coming from. Like, oh, he had to do that because of this, but I don't like it.
And that's
ain't nothing
thing,
positive about slavery.
That's what pulled me into you as a whole, because like we discussed yesterday, you know, there's a billion and one story, like racist ass stories out there. Man, I'm keep this as real as possible. And and you and I discussed, like, it's uncomfortable. You know, there are things that need to be discussed and touched on. Me personally, I feel like it doesn't. I feel like if you want to permanently eradicate something, you eradicate it from history and its knowledge completely and make sure it's never remembered. You know, but, you know, people say, oh, you got to repeat history. And I've never been one for it. And I like the fact that you're actually providing a good story about someone who, you know, fought hard, you know, like we've spoken before. There are people, it must have been very uncomfortable for there are, you know, people, white people who when slavery started, and before even slavery started, and there were a lot of bull crap going on within their own people. And they like, you know, what the heck is this?
Yeah,
and then eventually, you know, once it was less taboo and they were able to, like, you know, actually, you know what I appreciate about a story like this is because it happened before. People like this stood up against their own, you know, their brethren that were doing sin and doing wrong. And before it became less taboo, you know, it's easy to get on something when you got hundreds and thousands of people behind you. But when you're, yeah, you know, one or two,
pretty much on your own,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then you got to also gain the trust of the people you're trying to help, which must be very, yeah, difficult as well.
There you go. Yeah, because it's going against the grain. So
exactly.
Like,
and I love that you're showing that there, okay, is this story of people that genuinely help, that care. There are a few stories like that, a few gems out there. And mm-hmm, I think the unity between, you know, ethnicities and cultures and races and you know, white people and black, especially white people and black people, Lord knows that, you know, that's the main group that need to get it together. And mm-hmm, I love that you're putting out a story that highlights that and glorifies that. You know, whether it be, right, fiction or not, it's still something that will inspire future legacies on benevolent unity. And I respect that, admire that, and I salute you for that.
You know what? I want to touch on something you just said about history. Like, I was always taught that you learn history so you don't repeat it. And I really heavily believed it up until recently, when like the pandemic hit and we literally are repeating the mistakes that were made in 1918 with the Spanish flu pandemic.
Yeah.
Opening stuff too soon instead of doing it right the first time. Everybody should have did the same thing at the same time. I think we would have been out the woods.
I'ma say it like this.
Go ahead.
Like, regardless of whatever politicians you like, because I don't like any of them. Mm-hmm. They fail at their job. Their job is to keep people safe, to keep the world, yeah, regulated, to keep money good, to make sure there's no poverty. And they fail at it because it goes on and it goes on at the masses. So, mm-hmm, you know, if you fail at your job, you tend to get fired. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
the thing
is, we have
and a bunch of readers and writers and creative minds listen to this. So they'll understand. We have a million, a billion, an infinite amount of creative works out there that have a whole zombie pandemic or outbreak pandemic. There have been movies, TV shows, video games.
Yeah.
There have been so those are essentially to me doomsday situations, scenarios, mm-hmm, to prep you for exactly what not the fuck to do. Right. Our government, if this had been a zombie apocalypse, some end of the world type shit, we would be dead. Because they did exactly what you're not supposed to do. Hide it from the public. And we already know this stuff. We like, if they would have came out and be like, yo, everybody stay home. If Donald Trump would have got on news and been like, yo, stay home. There's a virus out.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on live TV with y'all. I'm not hiding nothing from y'all. Don't panic. Don't go out there doing no crazy shit. Don't go out there killing each other on something.
Yeah,
you know,
he probably would have won again if he'd have did that.
Exactly. Yeah. Just came out, be real. Like, look, I'm trying to keep y'all safe. Y'all know I get out here and tweet all the time. I don't get on TV and say it like this. But look, this is seriously going on. Y'all know better. I'm coming out here and talk to you as your president because we're not going to hide this from you. Stay home, be safe, and refer to update y'all on a round-the-clock basis. I need you guys to be safe. Mm-hmm. Not telling people, and then people slowly finding out, put them in a panic. You did it just like the movies, hiding it. It's like this man and his whole political party watched everything and was like, that's exactly what the fuck we're going to do. That's it. That's genius. Hide it from them. Let them die. Let them panic. Buy me a whole bunch of stock and toilet paper. Tell them toilet paper's running out.
But they didn't even care when their own people died. I remember Herman Cain died He went to one of them mega spreader rallies and he passed away. And he was a politician. You didn't really hear nobody even talk about it. So they didn't care. They don't care.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's a whole another animal on its own. That's, you know, a failure on that part. But, mm-hmm, you know, we also spoke on some other things, you know, correlated to your book that I do want to touch on was you saying that it was going to be a book series. This wasn't going to like stand on its own. It does elaborate on other like parts of history and whatnot.
Yeah. When you get to the end of the book, like I would say, especially the last chapter, you're going to want more. But now y'all got to wait. I'm with my second book. Y'all got to wait. But it's going to have y'all wanting it so bad because it's going to be stuff that you like, well, I wonder what's going to happen here. I wonder what's going to happen here. Oh, man, how he going to get out of this? It's going to be, it's just an absolute roller coaster. And at the end, I'm going to leave you at the top of the hill, not the bottom. You're going to be at the top.
Hey.
So you're going to want some more. You ain't done with the ride yet.
Mm.
So
I like that.
And I did that intentionally. Like I write different from others. Like I basically, I kind of wrote it backwards. I knew my ending right off rip.
Oh,
and, you know, my daughter.
That's good.
Like, you know,
my mom used to actually give me that advice.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hey, I gotta meet moms one day. That sounds.
Oh,
what's up. That
yeah,
sound like
you will. She's been listening to the show, so I believe it'd be easy to get y'all in touch. She actually works at the University of South Florida. My mom and dad played a detrimental part in me becoming a creative thinker. Like, my mom loved Sailor. Like, when I was like 7, 8 years old, we were in like Tampa, Florida. We had moved from Fort Pierce, and like, my mom loved Sailor Moon. She was always in love with Tuxedo Mask and the whole romantic.
Oh, she's a book person. Okay.
Oh, she's extremely into books. Like, I mean, that woman still, like, literally, her when she would get home from work, she like what made her happy was, you know, if dad was home and dad cooked, or if she was home and she, 9 times out of 10 she cooked, because dad worked two and a half jobs, but like, so she could go to school and do what she got to do, and then once she was doing what she was doing, he was able to cut back and go to school and do what he could do, right? Like, my mom and dad's a whole team. So dad loved Dragon Ball Z and whatnot, and like, put us on with that. So, you know, they gave us whatever games he wanted, and like, my mom was big on books. Like, oh my God, when I was little, she used to always carry these books with the romance books with half naked man on the front and a woman all on him. And me and my, she had three boys, me and my younger brothers. So we all be like, mom, why you always reading them books? Now that I'm grown, I definitely understand. But at the same token, you know, she works at USF. She's like, when I was in high school, she was a part of like this team that ran a program to try to catch students cheating. It was a whole like algorithm type thing. And, you know, she does something high up there. She's like, actually, I could send you like videos of her and her team. Like, she's like really important in the USF community now. So, yeah, I've actually been, you know, thinking about talking to her, because she's a part of a lot. When I say a lot, of like fanfic groups and book and readers, like, I mean, oh my God, the stories that my mom has read. Oh God. Anyways,
I hope she takes time to read mine.
If my mom reads, I'm gonna warn you.
Yesterday, I'm hype.
I'm gonna warn you. My mother gives zero fucks. She will rip your shit apart. And what I mean by that is, like, when I use the term grammar Nazi, I believe they invented that term because of my mother. I remember writing, so I'll never forget this. I wrote something in, I think it was the fourth grade, and I brought it home, and my mom marked that thing up, red pen that thing up, which I mean was good because I rewrote it and I got a good grade. But I was so happy, and then she marked it up, and I was so upset, and I'll never forget it. But I mean, I cherish that memory because of what it instilled into me and whatnot. But it's just funny, like, and she don't play. Like, my mom do not play. Like, my brothers be in the living room, like, watching TV, playing a game, whatever, Cartoon Network, Billy and Mandy, Ed and Eddie, the old school cartoon, you know, Dex's Lab. And she just like blurt out. She's like, God dang it. She's like, oh, this is just, I can't read this. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, this the story's good, but the writer, they got so many errors in it, and they got run-on sentences. She's like, the plot is good, the character is good, but it just, there's so many grammatical errors. And she'll just, you know, my mom always finishes the story. So that's the one thing that's cool.
Wouldn't bother me, though. I don't mind positive feedback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's gonna give it to you.
I literally did this independently. So it might have like that in there, like some grammar errors, and if to be corrected will be just fine with me. That's me learning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anything that can edify my soul, I'm fine with.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And that's definitely going to happen. So I definitely plan on making sure that you two get together or whatnot.
Okay, so, no doubt.
You know, speaking on all this, I want to ask you, do you got any like weaknesses when it comes to writing? Like would you say that you have like a kryptonite? Is there anything that hinders your writing?
My children.
Oh.
and the television.
And how is that?
Well, for one, I'm a huge couch potato, which if reading my book, you'll see is very descriptive. And that might come from me watching so much television as I grew up. And then my kids, like, I like spending time with family. So my husband and my kids, but my husband's name's Jermaine.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, Saint Germain.
You say that flashy.
Yeah, with the drip, with the ice.
Yeah, no, that's him for real, real life. When you meet him, you're going to be like, oh, dude.
Oh, that's Jermaine.
Yeah.
That's Saint Germain.
Yeah. I be trying to, like, get timing with him sometimes. So a lot of my writing got done at, like, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning when they were asleep, because when they're up and about, I want to interact. I want to wrestle. I want to play. Like, if you're part of my any of my pages, you'll see that I'm very playful. You'll see my kids playing around. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
Yeah, and that's just really who I am, even with my siblings and stuff. Like, when we was younger, even now, getting together, me being 43 years old, a lot of us still wrestle. It probably aggravates my mother some, but, you know.
Hey, it is what it is. Like,
sit down. Y'all too old to be wrestling.
Yeah.
That's just what we do.
Nah, I like playing around. Like, I know what you mean. I got a best, like, my best friend's younger brother, named Miguel. He's the only one out of my friend group that I believe, like, carries the same, like, kind of warrior spirit that I have. You know, I joined the military and whatnot.
Okay,
so,
yeah, veteran. Hey, yeah. I read that. I read that about you.
Yes, ma'am. So, I've been all over. I've been to Kyrgyzstan, Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, Fort Carson, Colorado, Fort Drummond, New York.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been around. I've been a few other places.
But
well,
that's some spectacular names you're saying. I've been in none of any of those places.
Yeah, I never been to Kyrgyzstan until I was in Kyrgyzstan. Why didn't I get a mission briefing on, like, where is this? Like, I'm not even going to say the base name. I won't, you know, ComSec. Even though I'm out of the military, I still, you know, will maintain, you know, comm security and whatnot. But anyways, back to the what were we on?
We was talking about what throws me off track when I'm writing, you know what I'm saying? Shit, hinders me, but what could be my kryptonite? So that's what I would say.
Oh yeah,
I was talking
you were talking about wrestling with your kids, and I was talking about my best friend, Miguel. I kid you not, like we wrestle, like what I mean, my wrestlers, like you ever seen the cartoon anime Dragon Ball Z?
My son loves anime. Okay. Eric loves anime.
You know how they punch each other, like, nonstop, repeatedly at each other? And it's like, how they punching at each other, like, and getting hit and keep going? Like, we'll do that for, like, 5 minutes. Just, like, shoulders and below, but we will literally do that. No matter how hard, okay. No matter what, for, like, 3 to 5 minutes, just hit each other. And it feels good to just get that out. Just keep hitting.
It don't matter.
Love it. Come with it.
I love to watch the kids run around, and I just let them do what they do. Like, yep. They're not breaking anything. I'm cool. Like, my husband is more laid back, so he'll kind of just look at me like, y'all at it again.
I'm crazy. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing right there. Like, I love that you all about family and that, you know, that you're teaching unity through, you know. Ooh, something just sparked in my head as I was actually about to say that.
What done sparked in your head? What's up?
Is that I know exactly what your book is gonna do. Your book is actually gonna inspire more people, whether they are of any ethnicity, to stand up against injustice and fight for equality. That's what you've done, and that's what you've created, and I love that. You know,
regardless of how hard it is, you know what? That also comes from me being a Christian. That's why I created a particular character in the book, and her name is Grace. Mm. She's a Christian, and that's who Rachav learns to go to, because he's also a Christian, but he's not surrounded around by Christians, people of different religions and nationalities and things of that sort. So you'll see him and her interacting more, because he would go to her when he had issues. So, she'd tell him what part of the Bible, you're feeling discomfort, you're feeling sad, and you're feeling depressed, you're feeling this. Like, she was that void for him. You know what I'm saying? She's that void. So that's why she was created. And that's where a lot of my family time comes from, because I myself was adopted at 10 months. So I was raised in a church, and then when I got to know my biological family at 15, my biological mother also is Christian. So, like, it went from, like, I lost my adopted mother at 17, and she came right in at the right time to keep me on that path.
That's beautiful.
So that's just where I'm at with it.
That's beautiful. At this time, could you let us know where we could, you know, find your books, you know, any website links, any
social media links? Right now I'm on Amazon. It's exclusively on Amazon until like April. The ebook is $8.69. The paperback is $13.99. Please buy the book. Leave me a review on there. Add me to your pages. I got the Instagram. My Instagram is DJ Cutie. The Cutie is with Q. My Facebook is Nakia Crocker. You can even put that in Google search and my book will pop up. You put my name, Nikia Crock, or you can put Rachav Lapatisse. The Rachav is R-A-C-H-A-V. So.
All right, guys.
That's where I'm at with it. Everything. So, wait, you got to let me all out, you know, my kids and my
husband. Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to give all of them a shout out.
Yeah, my husband, Jermaine, you know, keep me
Saint
pushing
Jermaine.
When I'm getting out. When I'm getting off track and I'm doing what I need to, I'm running around playing or something like that. Hey, you finish some chapters. Mm-hmm. And then my kids, you know, I got Eric, Nakia. I got two Amaris. I got a Mia and I got a Anaya. So, I love them. You know, they keep me wanting to do more. They keep me sane, because I deal with a bit of anxiety, so sometimes, you know, that's all it takes just to watch them wrestle and play. Is just, I like entertaining, you know what I'm saying? Long story short, I just like entertainment. That's what I hope this book does for people, because I also DJ on the side.
Hey.
So for me, that's my medicine. When I'm DJing and I see the people grooving to the music, which is part of the problem for me DJing, because I want to dance too. So I'll be running back and forth to the dance floor, back to the DJ booth, to the dance floor, back to the DJ. But people like it though, you know what I'm saying? Because I be knowing all the hustles and stuff like that. So it's just like my motivation is my family and entertainment. I love entertaining people, and especially if I can do it in a positive manner, that's even better.
That's exactly what we're all about. Everybody, this has been Miss Nakia Crocker. You guys need to go check out her book. Don't have to go too far, because the links will be in the description. I love every single one of you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being on the show.
I see the view you just sent me.
Oh yeah. You finally just got it. You finally just got it. You see what I wake up to. Like, it's
yeah.
And I'm not even trying to kid you,
y'all, because he's down in that warm weather down there, and I'm up here freezing.
It's all like it's literally called Sunny Isle Beach for a reason.
So, yeah, I can see that. It's beautiful, though. It's absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah. It's like this 99% of the time. Even when it's like nimbostratus or like, you know, cumulonimbus clouds out and whatnot, it still looks, you know, just beautiful.
You're going to have to get me down there about April or something like that. Give me flown down there. I'll come holler at you.
Well, come on, everybody. That's welcome for everybody. I have an amazing spot here at the Intercoastal Yacht Club that I would love to share with everybody. So, like, straight up, I'll send you a link and whatnot. But that's going to wrap us up for today, guys. You all take care. Spend time with your family. You know, as Ms. Nakia said, family is important. Stay blessed. Stay safe. Look out for one another. Build some good memories. Keep on creating. Keep writing. I love you guys. This is Joshua. Bye.